Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We read once again a couple of verses from our gospel lesson, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow, redeemed by the work of the incarnate Christ. Several days ago, I Googled favorite Christmas songs, resulting in quite a few lists. And I focused on several that I thought might be a fair representation of our culture. And I was hoping and half expecting that a number of our traditional Christmas hymns or Christian Christmas hymns would make it into the top 50, or if they had a list of top 100, at least the top 100. And to make a long story short, I was overall quite disappointed. Even got somewhat depressed as I was looking at the lack of Christian Christmas songs and hymns on those lists. Silent Night, Away in a Manger, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. There was one list that did pretty good, but for the most part, it was quite disappointing. It's safe to say that this exclusion has been the trend. The more popular Christmas songs focus on Santa and presents and snow and bells and romance and family and parties and gatherings and celebrations. And this really is no surprise. I was thinking about this a few days ago as well, and this kind of helps explain what's going on in culture. You know, when you watch the movie It's a Wonderful Life, and you watch the very end, remember the hymn they sing there? And they sing it with great gusto and sincerity. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Talk about a beautiful Christian Christmas hymn. Do you think that such a Christian Christmas hymn today would be sung in a major motion picture? So, that is what has happened. The content of Christmas songs has become more and more secular, and it shouldn't surprise us. In one sense, we can say that this is understandable. We should not expect culture to grasp or appreciate the content of Christian Christmas hymns and songs and carols. Why? Because the content expressed in Christian Christmas songs and hymns and carols is preposterous. The content is absolutely ridiculous and unbelievable. What is the one thing that every single, and there might be some exceptions to this, but every single Christian Christmas hymn focuses on? Here's one word. The incarnation. The incarnation. What is the incarnation? If you don't know that word, you got to learn it. The incarnation. The incarnation means God in flesh. God taking on a human body. A little tiny 8-pound, 7-ounce baby, lying in a manger, is the almighty, all-knowing, all-merciful creator of all things. Let me put it to you this way to help us understand why this really seems, at least, so preposterous. If a song were placed in front of you, and the lyrics you were to sing were these: a baby was born and they named him Lee. Though he looked like a boy, he was also a flea. Or a dog, or a dinosaur, or an alien, or, as C.S. Lewis said, a poached egg. So you get the idea? If you were to sing that song, you would probably chuckle and say, well, that's a funny little make-believe story. Well, a baby in a feeding trough, also said to be the Son of God, appears to be just as silly in the category of make-believe. The difference, of course, however, is that this one is true, absolutely true. It is not a myth, it's not a legend, it's not a fairy tale. And most people would say that, well, this would be preposterous, just as preposterous as a little baby Lee being a flea. But the incarnation is what the Christian church has confessed as true for 2,000 years, and we still do, though there are many, including many so-called Christian pastors and theologians who have rejected it. But it is this incarnation that is found in every single Christian Christmas hymn and carol. So, for example, in our hymns that we've sung or will sing today, God of God, light of light, lo, he comes forth from the virgin's womb, our very God, begotten, not made. O come, all ye faithful. Or this one: and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. God rest ye, merry gentlemen. Or this one: thy little ones, dear Lord, are we, and come thy lowly bed to see. And this one: now through his Son doth shine the Father's grace divine. And of course, the last one we're going to sing today: joy to the world, the man has come? No, the Lord is come. Now, you and I are likely to take the incarnation for granted, that the little child is also true God, but we should not take it for granted. One reason being that our neighbor, who is not a Christian, perhaps has no concept and no recognition that these Christian Christmas hymns are identifying Jesus, the human, with the only begotten Son of God. And if our neighbor, who's not a Christian, does realize this, he is likely to consider that concept to be a fable or a myth or a fairy tale on the same level as, you know, that overweight man with that red suit on and that long white beard who's riding in the sleigh being led by 9 flying reindeer. Of course, it's all right for children to believe in things like that, but not reasonable, mature adults, they think. But, you know, it's interesting. For this reason, many non-Christians can immerse themselves not only in non-Christian Christmas songs, but they can even sing Christian Christmas songs, because these Christian Christmas songs are just silly songs they think about something that could not possibly be true. And yet, there's quite a few people out there, I was discussing this with a couple of you the other day. There are many people out there who aren't Christians who have never really come to grips or thought about the content of these Christmas hymns, even though they sing them. It's quite interesting how that message, that content, is never thought about by them. They don't give it a second thought. The incarnation, so well expressed in these hymns that they sing. There's another aspect to the content in all these great Christian hymns besides the incarnation. It's not only that the Son of God was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, but there's also, besides that, the why he became one of us. And this why is that other great message of these Christian Christmas hymns and carols. Not only who, but also why. And it is this why that is the good news, the great comfort, consolation for those who believe. So listen again to some of the lines from our hymns. Now through his Son doth shine the Father's grace divine. Death over us had reigned through sin and vanity. The Son for us obtained eternal joy on high. Or this one. God rest you, merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. For Jesus Christ, our Savior, was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Or this one, from the last hymn we'll be singing. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. Joy to the world. The curse that followed sin, the curse that brought death, which didn't exist before sin, the curse that devastated the world so that it is not now what it should have been. So not only the who, but the why. What do we call this why? What's one word that sums up the why he came? Redemption. Redemption. Christ redeemed us, bought us back from the curse of sin. He has purchased us for us all forgiveness so that we could have salvation and eternal life. Redemption. Redemption. So we have these two things in all these great Christian hymns. The incarnation and the redemption, the who and the why he came. God in human flesh, so he could, by his life, suffering, and death, buy us forgiveness. And this is why there is crazy joy and praise back then among the angels and Mary and Joseph and their relatives and the shepherds. Again, these great Christian hymns, the incarnation and the redemption. But there's one more thing, too, that we almost always find in these great Christian hymns. We also find, you could put it several ways, the announcement, the proclamation, the spreading, the sharing. So, for example, we read in Luke chapter 2, so they, the shepherds, hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they told others the message they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed by what the shepherds said to them. They were amazed because of the content, the who and the why, both of which would have seemed preposterous. You know, it's interesting, it's sad that in many places it's quite dangerous to sing these Christian Christmas hymns. It's dangerous not because they consider the incarnation preposterous, which they do, but because they consider it a threat to the embedded religion or the embedded worldview supported by their government structure. In other words, if you sing these Christian Christmas hymns in certain countries, such as countries where Islam reigns or where communism reigns, you would have to do so in the privacy of your home or in a clandestine church that meets illegally. You could never do so in public, for these Christian Christmas hymns are recognized as confessions of faith, and they might therefore influence others to become Christians. In our culture, where singing of Christian Christmas hymns is not yet forbidden, except in certain select places like many public schools and a number of other public settings, and we really ought to take advantage of singing them in order to what? Proclaim, to spread, to share with others the message of the incarnation and the redemption. And we ought to be brave enough to say to the person next to us who may not be a Christian, but he's singing these Christian Christmas hymns, do you know what these words mean that you're singing? There's a good chance he doesn't. Do you know what they are saying? Yeah, they are saying something that seems insane and ridiculous and preposterous. They are saying that the one born of Mary and placed in the manger is the Almighty God. And the other thing that these words are saying is that this God in the flesh, this Jesus Christ, came for you and me. Because we have this great problem called sin. And he came to redeem you so that you might believe and be saved. So that's where we end today, with the simple message. The message about the incarnation and the redemption found in God's holy word and expressed so beautifully in these great Christian Christmas hymns. The message that is for them and the message that is for you. Amen. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.